I'm Fred Child with NPR's Performance Today. As we head toward Mozart's 250th birthday in January, it's another Mozart Friday for us. And today is also Veterans Day 2005. David Hildebrandt and Kate Van Winkle Keller are here. They both specialize in music of colonial America. They're co-founders of the Colonial Music Institute, as a matter of fact. David Hildebrandt, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
And Kate Van Winkle Keller, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having us.
In Europe, Mozart was trying to make his way in a musical world where there were opera houses, there were concert halls, there were orchestras, there were plenty of trained operatic singers and conductors. There was nothing like that in the Americas in the 1770s, was there?
Oh, there was.
No, nothing is an overstatement. What we had was considerably inferior, no doubt. But by 1750, we had regularly touring operatic troupes in the colonies. They would play not just Philadelphia and New York, but Annapolis, Charleston. Granted, they were relatively small. They may only have a handful of musicians scraping together an orchestra. But there was theater, there was dance, there was chamber music. Now, but clearly, it wouldn't facilitate bringing to life the kind of music that Mozart conceived and composed.
Now, I'm looking at a picture of George Washington dancing a minuet at his inaugural ball of 1789, and this could be straight out of a European court. He has the satin vest, the velvet jacket, there are powdered wigs on the heads of the men here and the fancy gowns on the women. This could be straight out of a European court, but this is an American scene.
It was as close to a European court as they could possibly get it. They danced the same dance. They danced exactly the same way. They imported teachers for their children so that it would be the same, if they could afford them.
Well, let's hear a march written by a Hessian soldier who was actually captured by Washington's troops. The soldier, Philip Pyle, apparently didn't hold a grudge. In fact, he decided he liked living here, so he stayed on after the Revolutionary War. According to documents of the time, it seems this march of his was played for dancing at Washington's inauguration. And later on, Joseph Hopkinson wrote the words "Hail Columbia" to this tune. If Mozart, by some fluke, had been born in, let's say, Philadelphia instead of Salzburg in 1756, growing up in America, could he have become Mozart?
He would have had trouble composing a mass in Maryland, for instance, because in Maryland, technically, it was illegal to be a Catholic. The church music of the colonies is a fascinating and diverse sort of a field, where in New England you have these outcast Puritans and pilgrims who came to get away from an organized church and ended up living a very vibrant musical life up in New England. Here in the South, just the opposite. We had a small, inadequate, state-sponsored Anglican church in Maryland and Virginia. There was no money for composition. There was no encouragement to glorify on a Sunday in the New World. So Mozart would have been in trouble when it came to his sacred music.
So what would have been the music played in the New England churches on Sunday?
Well, they loved something called fuguing tunes. And a fuguing tune is sort of the baby brother of a real fugue. It's a brief musical form where a small choir, even just a quartet, can sing a brief segment that would sound much like a hymn in a Protestant church today. But after maybe 20 seconds worth of hymn-style singing, suddenly they would break into parts and enter one after the other, the basses, tenors, sopranos, whatever, in whatever order. It became a recreational outlet for the people up in New England who didn't have a whole lot else fun to do in those days.
Well, let's hear one of those tunes, this one written by William Billings. The Hilliard Ensemble is singing his fuguing tune called Creation, and this is just as David was describing. It begins as a plain hymn and then breaks into fuguing parts later in the piece. The Hilliard Ensemble with a Revolutionary War-era fuguing tune called Creation by American composer William Billings. At the same time Billings was writing in the American colonies, Mozart was in Europe writing something similar, but different. And the first thing you might notice is that Mozart had a full orchestra available to him and an organ as well. But otherwise, Mozart writes in a similar style, a hymn-like beginning and then breaking into a fugue. This is the Sanctus from Mozart's Missa Longa of 1775.
Thank you.
the Sanctus from the Missa Longa in C major by Mozart, one of about 20 masses he wrote for Salzburg. That was sung by the Tölzer Choir, music Mozart wrote in 1775. We're comparing Mozart's world of the 1770s with the American musical scene of the same time. Kate Van Winkle-Keller, today is Veterans Day. What music would the veterans of the Revolutionary War have heard?
We have a wonderful example of a veteran who wasn't a major officer, and he wasn't just a little person playing the fife. He played the fiddle, and he kept a manuscript of his fiddle tunes. This was the manuscript of Captain George Bush, who was born in Delaware. And he joined the army with his fiddle. He married later. He had no children. So we can't connect him to any Bushes that are active today. But his name was George Bush, and he did serve in the army. He was wounded quite early, and I think that's why we have his fiddle book, because he continued as a paymaster. And he had songs in his manuscript as well. One of the songs expresses probably what every veteran feels as he leaves home and heads out to the field. And one of the verses, "Two passions strongly pleading my anxious breast invade. Lo, there's my country bleeding. Lo, here's my weeping maid."
It's been a real pleasure having you both here. David Hildebrand and Kate Van Winkle-Keller both specialize in music of colonial America. They're co-founders of the Colonial Music Institute. Kate, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
David, thank you for being here.
It's been a pleasure.
And we have that text, but I'm sorry to say the music for that particular song by Captain George Bush is lost, so we can't hear that one. But let's hear a pair of Revolutionary War dancing tunes that Bush and his pals might have played, "The White Cockade" and "Soldier's Joy." This is the ensemble Hesperus with fiddler Bonnie Rideout.